Okay, good evening, everybody. So two shilas that came up today. Both of these shilas came... No, one shilah came up last Shabbos and one came up today. Sorry. So the first shilah came up last Shabbos. I was walking out of shul and my 11-year-old daughter was across the street and she screams, "Abba, come help me cross the street." So I ran over to Big Street. I ran over to come help across the street and she was with her friend who lives across the street. And her friend says, "Rabbi, I have a shilah." So I said, "Okay, I'd love to hear your Shaila." And she said that she is an avid reader. She didn't tell me that. I just happened to know that about her. And she told me that she gets books by taking them out of the library on her Kindle. Apparently, you could do that. You can get library books on your Kindle. And the deal is that after 2 weeks, it disappears from your Kindle. Just like a library book would expire, except there are no like late fees for giving the book back late, because you can't give it away, it just disappears, just goes away from the Kindle. So she said that she realized that if she wants to keep it for more than 2 weeks, if she just puts her Kindle into airplane mode, the book will not disappear. So she wanted to know whether it's permissible to do that, to keep her Kindle in airplane mode, and she'll have the book for as long as she wants to have it, or is there some sort of prohibition? She said that she believes that the library is only allowed to give out X amount of copies of the book at a time, and by her keeping it for longer, it's possible that they're unable to provide another customer or another library card holder who's on the waiting list for that book with that book because she's keeping it. That she believes that that's the case. She wasn't sure that that's the case, so she wants to know, is it motive for her to do that? I thought that was pretty good for an 11-year-old. I later Googled how to keep a book in my Kindle, and this is a bavus dezach. You know, like the world knows about this. This is it's out there. Okay, a second shaila that came up, and this one came up today. I don't know who the shaila was actually asked to, but someone forwarded me this shaila. So here it goes. I'll read you the story as it appeared. Noah owns a sports memorabilia business. He sells sports memorabilia online as well as through Amazon. One day, Noah received an order from a customer with a Jewish-sounding last name. The order was for a signed poster of a famous basketball player who played for the Los Angeles Lakers. The customer placed the order and entered his credit card information. Noah now had a week to process the order. 2 days after Noah received this order for the signed NBA poster, the news broke that this basketball player was killed with his daughter in a sudden helicopter crash. Millions of people mourned his death. Noah immediately realized that the value of the signed poster was now at least 100 times more than the price that he was getting. Noah quickly notified the customer that he was going to cancel the sale. Noah later told the story to his nephew, who went to a Torah day school. On one hand, you can say that he'd known that the NBA player would pass away, he never would have sold it. In addition, the customer never actually acquired ownership of the poster because he had not yet received it. All the customer did was place an online order. But on the other hand, Noah agreed to sell it. So would backing out be a problem? What do you think? According to the Torah, is Noah allowed to cancel the sale of the signed NBA poster? So that is shaila number two. Okay, so we have the two shailas. We have the keeping the Kindle on the book on your Kindle shaila, and we have the Kobe Bryant, for those who aren't familiar, the Kobe Bryant poster that the guy wants to back out of the sale. Any vote? You want a third option? All those who prefer number one? All those who prefer number two? That looks like number two by slightly edges number one. Just slight? No, I thought it would be... Okay, anyway, this is a major sugya in Shas. Meaning the real issue over here is, what is the issue over here? Let's start with this. What is the issue over here? What do we need? Where do I open up in Shulchan Aruch? Where do I open up in the Gemara? What am I looking for to answer the shaila? What do I need to know? Chashim Mishpah, good, okay, yeah.
It drastically increases the value of unknown circumstances.
Can a deal change after it's made if something crazy happens? Okay, that's one thing. Something more fundamental, though.
When is something considered someone else?
Oh, when is the ownership transferred? Right? When the guy puts in his credit card number and says, buy, right? He clicks buy it. Is he now immediately the owner of it? Or do you have to wait till the credit card company is billed and the order is processed, till it's shipped, till he takes possession of it? And let's say he does not become the owner of it immediately. Does that necessarily mean that the seller is allowed to back out whenever he wants?
Isn't there a Mishapara?
Oh, so meaning, well, say it again?
The Mishapara.
a Misha Parah, meaning you're not supposed to do stuff like that. You're not supposed to tell someone, I'm going to sell you something, deal, you have a deal, and then just say, change my mind. No deal. Right? So what exactly is this? Is there a kinyan? If there's not a kinyan, is it something else? And if it's something else, what is that? Is it a Misha Parah, a Mechusrei Amana? Something. We have to figure out what that is. And what are the rules? Once you know what it is, we can then analyze what Shimon was saying. What are the rules when something drastically changes? Like the guy gets killed in a helicopter crash, and now everything that's associated with his name is worth 1,000 times more or 100 times more than it was previously worth. I tried to do my research to see just how much a Kobe Bryant signed poster, can command on the internet. But I don't get this whole memorabilia. I don't even know the words that they're using when they describe memorabilia. Apparently, all these things that I'm looking at are not really signed, they're copies of signature. Like, I don't even, they don't use the word copy, they use like other words. So, like, it was hard for me to even navigate like what all of this was about. Okay, but this is like a major sugya. Let's start with the sugya of Misha Parah. The sugya of Misha Parah is a Gemara Mesechta Brachot Metzia Daf Mem Zayin. The Gemara says that midoraisa ma'os konas. On a daraisa level, you give money, you are the owner of the item, even though you haven't picked it up, you haven't been moshech, you didn't touch the item. You just gave money for it. Midoraisa, you are already the owner of it. But the Gemara says, for metaltel midrabanan, they were misakin that you need meshicha or hagba, a special takanat rabanan that you're not actually the owner until you pick it up or you pull it toward you. If it's a heavier item that you can't pick up, that you would pull toward yourself. Why? Because gzeirish hamiyom lo nisufu chitach abaliya, and we're afraid that what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you that I have this very valuable item to sell. It's in my warehouse, and I'll take the money from you. Now it belongs to you, and if it belongs to you, that means that if anything happens to it, it's your problem. It's not my problem, but it's in my warehouse. So I'm going to leave my warehouse unprotected, or the warehouse will there will be a fire, and I won't do anything about it because I don't care. It's all your stuff. It doesn't bother me. So because I'm still in possession, meaning it's still in my property, and it belongs to you, we're afraid that I'm not going to take the proper precautions with it. And therefore, Chazal made a din that the ownership is not transferred until you actually do a Meshicha Ragba. So essentially, that's what Chazal were concerned about, that after the buyer pays, while the item's still in the warehouse of the seller, a fire breaks out, the seller won't bother trying to save the item because he won't be taking the loss anyway. And this is Paskin Ba'alach and Shulchan Aruch, Choshe Mishpat, in Simur Kuf Tzadiches Sif Aleph. And the Shulchan Aruch writes, Dvar Torah Ma'os Konos. On the Torah's level, money does it. Aval Chacham Tiknu Shle Yikna Metaltelim Elu Bagba Mashicha. But Chazal made a takana that you can only be konos something by lifting it or being Moshech or being Moshechid. However, this ability to back out and say that there was never a kinyan, because there was just money, and this din rabbanan that money is not enough for a kinyan, is only bedine adam. But bedine shemayim, you're going to be in trouble if you back out after money has been transferred. The Mishnah Maseches Bamtzia Daf Mem Ches tells us, Rabbi Shimon Omer, afal pi shamru talis kona din of zav, ein din of zav kona talis, mikal makom, kach halacha. Aval omru, it's true, there are certain things that are the halacha that the kinyan is not yet chal. However, Chazal said, Mi shapara me'anshe dara mabel, u'me'anshe dara flaga, u'me'anshe sedom v'amora, u'mi mitzrayim v'yam. Like we go through the history of God punishing bad people, right? The same God that punished all the evil people in history, he'll get you too. Hu asli parim misha, I'm not pointing to anyone. Hu asli parim misha eino omid b'diburo. And then the Mishnah adds in this other line, and by the way, if you make an agreement with somebody and you back out on that, the Chacham are not happy with you either. So what the Mishnah is telling us, if it was paid for on a Terabbanan level, there's no kinyan. However, Midina Shemayim, it's a big deal. That's what's called a Misha Parah. So you can't violate a Misha Parah. Once something's been paid for, you can't back out anymore. Now, if it's just promised but no kinyan or money was transferred, then Ein Racham Nochem Enu, right? What exactly is a Misha Parah? What is this Misha Parah? What does it mean, it's a Misha Parah? Meaning, if the guy sues me, can he get it back? Right? Meaning, if I back out, let's say I agreed to sell you something, I agreed to sell you this recorder, circa 2004, I think this recorder was popular on the market, and no back, of course, and I agreed to sell it to you for, this is a very holy item. You know, thousands of shiurim went through this recorder. So you decide that you want to pay me $1,000 for this recorder. So I say, no problem. I take the $1,000. I still have the recorder. I haven't given it to you. And I say, you know what? Sentimental value. I'm sorry. I can't sell it for $1,000. I back out. Take your money back. Can you sue me for it? Take me to Beis Din. Will Beis Din make me give it back to you? No, absolutely not. Right? Bedine Adam, Midrabanan, doesn't work. But Bedine Shemayim, there's a Misha Para. So what does that mean, there's a Misha Para? What does that mean? Who's doing what to me? So it's a machlokas in the Gemara. Abayi Yomar Oduyim Odinan Lay. It's Beis Din's job to inform the guy that he's going to end up paying for this up in Shemayim, that this is going to be bad for him. Rava says, no. Not inform the guy. Melet Laitinan Lay. It's an actual curse. We actually curse him that this should be, not that this, we believe this will befall you, a curse that this shall befall you. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch and Sim Reish Dalit, Sif Dalit in Choshen Mishpat, says, Ketzad Mekabel Mishapara, how does a Mishapara work? Orin Oso Bebezin Va'omrin. Orin Oso Bebezin, we curse him in Bezin, and we say, Mishapara Manchidar Mav Manchidar Flag Manchidar Mav Manchidar Flag Manchidar Flag Manchidar Flag Manchidar Flag Manchidar Flag. And the Rama adds, "V'yesh omrim sha'om lo hu Yifrom imcha." The Rama says, "Don't just say he's going to punish someone who's dishonest or who doesn't live up to his agreement. No. Make it more personal. Mimcha. Make it. It's you. You're the one that's going to be cursed." And then the Rama says, "And yesh omrim sha'om lo barabim. Do it publicly. Publicly tell him that he's the one that is going." Meaning, it's like you make a big statement out of it to curse him. So that's one level, Misha Para. Question is over here, did the guy actually pay yet? He put in his credit card information and, you know, if he looks in his bank account, even if he looks at his credit card statement online, does it appear yet?
Depends on how it says. Sometimes it says pending.
Right, maybe it takes time, so I don't know, right? It could be that it takes till they process the order, that it will take time. And even if it does appear on the credit card statement, if the seller cancels it, so then he was never really charged. He was never sent a bill. So is that called that he's already paid for it? So it's not abundantly clear that that's called payment. So what else would it be? What else would the issue be? Yeah?
Is Gemara talking about, like, because people usually did the transactions in person. So here it's like, hey, something here and I'm going to buy.
Yeah.
This is a totally different system.
That's the point, right? It's a totally different system. What do we do with this?
I mean, even if you would saw the person in money, but the thing is not, it's like not within.
Yeah. It's up in my aliyah. That was the case of the Gemara. The thing's not here, right? So the next level is what the Mishnah said, Mechusar Amana. Mechusar Amana means, I said I'm going to do something. No money, no kinyan, nothing. We made an agreement. And now I'm going to back out on the agreement. So that's what we say, Ein Ruacham Noche Menu, right? That's what the Mishnah said. This is Paskun Shulchan Aruch HaShemishpatsim Reish Dalet Sif Zayin. Hanosim Yenosim B'Dvarim B'Lvad. If all it is words. HaReza Ro'u Lo Lamod B'Diburam. A person has to stand by his word. Avol Pishol Lakach Me'adam Klum V'Lo Rosham V'Lo Yeniach Mashkon. Even though you didn't, there was no transaction. V'Kol HaChozer Bo Bein Lokech Bein Mocher. Anyone who backs out, even though he's not going to be cursed, the rabbis give you a sad face, right? Frowny face, right? No good. We're not happy with it. Not a good thing. The Rama over there in Sefer Aleph also says the same thing. It's true when there has been no money, you can back out. A person is supposed to stand by his word. Again, that same idea. Now the question is, on this level, this is not as serious as Mishapara, right? Meaning there are three levels we have so far, right? The most serious level is, it's done. Absolutely done. Absolute kinyan, right? The guy actually took possession of it. For you to then cancel, that's just stealing. It's his already. Then the second level is Mishapara. There was no kinyan done, right? But money was paid. So once money was paid, now you can get cursed if you try to back out. Then the third level is no kinyan, no money, but agreement. And that's Ein Racham Noche Menu. If there's an agreement and you back out of the agreement. Question is, things change sometimes. Is it always going to be that the Chachamim are unhappy with me when I back out of an agreement with something like major changes? What if the price changes? Is it still Mechusra Amana if the price changes? So the Ramah quotes two opinions about this, if the price changes. First opinion is that if the price changes, it's no longer Mechusra Amana. Yeah, I'm not being untrustworthy. I agreed to sell it to you for $10 when it was worth $10. Now it's worth $1,000. So why would I agree to sell it to you for that? Everything changed. The price changed. Second sheet is, no, it's still Mechusra Amana. I agreed to sell it to you for $10, so, you know, you're going to have to take a loss. I remember when I bought my first house. No, when I sold my first house. After we moved out of Queens, we moved to Cedarhurst. And we lived in Cedarhurst for 3 years, and the market in Cedarhurst almost doubled. The value of my house almost doubled in 3 years that we lived in Cedarhurst. It didn't help because we had to buy a house in North Windermere anyway, and the market there doubled also. But it almost doubled, right? We had no idea what we could get for our house. It was central, colonial, 5 bedrooms, but like, there was no master bathroom. There were certain flaws. The kitchen wasn't nice. Okay, but we had no idea what we can get for the house. So we said, okay, we'll put it on the market for, I'll just pick numbers, we'll put it on the market for $700,000. Right? So this is going back 15 years ago. Someone came and offered $700,000. Like that. We're like, this is awesome. This is unbelievable. So we said, okay, we're going to still show it. And we're like, it sounds good. We're going to still show it, until we have something, solid. And someone else came and offered $725,000. And then someone else came and offered $730,000. So the first guy whose offer we accepted, we didn't sign it, but his offer we accepted, then sent an engineer. We didn't tell him we had any other offers. He sent an engineer, and the engineer looked at the house and said, yeah, it's pretty good, but, he started nitpicking, like, little things. So the guy calls me up and says, look, $700,000, but, you got to fix this, you got to fix that, or else I want to take $15,000 off the price, or you fix these things, or something like that, or needs a new roof, whatever. I don't know what he said. $20,000 off the price. So as soon as he said that, I said, oh, okay, so we don't have a set price? We don't have a deal? So he's like, no, you got to fix those things, otherwise we don't have a deal. So I'm like, okay, no problem. Have a good day. So I went to the guy that offered 725, the 731, I wasn't so sure about that guy. So I went to the guy that offered 725, and I said, okay, you have a deal. The guy that offered 725 came back to me, and he said, it turns out my best friend offered you $700,000 2 weeks ago. And he goes, I want the house. I don't want to lose this house. But if you're willing to take the $700,000 from my best friend, I'm not going to get in his way. So I'll step aside. And he had, before with the engineer, he wanted to lower it to 680. Now it was back at 700, right? But now this guy was going to pay me $725. I said, no, forget about your friend, right? So what do you do in that case? I had an agreement, or did I not? Was it wrong for me to even go to the $725 guy? So I remember I was telling Rav Shachter this story, and he said, so Newt, what did you do? I told him, it was like 2 weeks later, what did you do? I said, I took $700,000. I wasn't, the guy was already so angry at me. I remember the call I got when I told him, okay, see ya. He's like, oh, my wife is pregnant and she's going to have a miscarriage. She's so upset. And it was a really, really rough, I'm like, I don't need this on my head, So she was like, no, okay, $25,000, big deal. Because rich people in Chinuch can talk like that. $25,000. At the end of the day, it's not going to make an appreciable difference in your life. So why did I say that? Oh, so the price changes. Maybe you say, oh, the price changes. The whole story is different now. Now it's not Mechus Sheyaman anymore. Or maybe you say, no, you had an agreement. It's Mechus Sheyaman because you're not living up to your agreement. By the way, the heter that I thought I had was that we didn't have an agreement. I mean, he Dafka said, I want you to pay for more things or I'm going to take from the... So we Dafka didn't have an agreement. Meaning I waited till he backed out of the agreement first. Maybe it wasn't so nice of me to not tell him that I had a higher offer, because then he would not have backed out of the agreement. But I didn't have an agreement. I got calls. You're in Rabbanus, you're Chinuch. How could you be? It was very bad. Okay. Anyway, how do we paskin? So of these 2 days, if the price changes, so the Ramah paskins that the Iker is like the second opinion. that you still have to stand up, you still have to abide by your agreement, even if the price changed. The Sma says that since the Mechaber didn't distinguish, it would still be Mechus Ramana. The Shach, in the name of the Bach, is unsure La Halacha, but then says the Yerushalmi sounds like the Rush that it's not a problem Mechus Ramana. So what do you have? The Rama says it is a problem Mechus Ramana, the Shach says it's not. And it's not a problem being untrustworthy to back out when the price changes. What if the price didn't change, but you could have made more money? Meaning the market price didn't change, you just found another fool who's willing to give you more money. So that is probably worse, right? That's at least a violation of Dovra Ames Bulvavo, maybe. That's not really a price change, that's just an opportunity to make more money. A real price change might not be a violation of Mechus Ramana, but this is different. What if it's not the price change, the circumstances change? Meaning, you now wouldn't want to sell it anymore because something else happened. For example, there's a tshuva in the Chasam Sofer, Chasam Mishpatim Kuf Beis. He discusses a case of somebody who sold something in order to buy another object that he desperately needed. So he sold object A because he very much wanted to buy object B that he desperately needed. They never did a kinyan on object A yet. And then his uncle died and left him object B, the Yerusha. So now he has object B. He doesn't need to sell object A anymore. They had an agreement, though, about object A. Is he bound to sell object A? So Chasam Sofer says, that's a price change, you're allowed to back out. Wow. That's a mechudesh to Chasam Sofer for a few reasons. First of all, the Chasam Sofer is assuming as a double pashtut that we paskin like the day that the Ramah does not paskin like. That a price change makes a difference. That because there was a price change, that you're allowed to back out of it. And he assumes that a circumstance change is a price change. But it's not. It's a circumstance change. It's not even the same thing. Wow, so that's a pretty significant comment. The Chasam Sofer, if you read the Tshuva, also seems to imply that that it would help for Misha Para as well. That even if it was at the level of Misha Para, a major circumstance change would save you your Misha Para. That none of the poskim accept. That doesn't seem to be true. Because Misha Para means, like, on a Doraisa level, a kinyan was made already. The guy paid it to you already. So that doesn't seem to be true. Right? So now, where does that leave us? No? So what do we have over here? Let's say when the guy clicks on the buy it, thing on the website, it doesn't immediately pay the money. But what is that? It's at least an agreement, right? So the Choros Mechus Ramana. Ooh, but
circumstance.
More than a circumstance change, a price change. Like the actual market value changed. Now if you try to buy a Kobe Bryant poster on, a signed Kobe Bryant poster on, it's 10 times, 100 times the price. It actually changed. So now you're subject to the two deos in the Ramah, and according to the Chasam Sofer, you're passing like the Shach, and you're allowed to back out. Wow. But then there's another level. Another thing that has to be taken into account, and this might be a huge game changer. There's something called the Kinyan Satumta. What's a Kinyan Satumta? It means the following. The Gemara Daf Ayin Dalet in Bamitzia says that a minag ha-sochrin, to make a Kinyan and transfer ownership in non-halachic ways. You know, we have halacha, how Kinyan happens. Hagbah, Meshicha, right? All these things. What if it's just like a thing that people recognize in business as a Kinyan? But it's not a halacha, it's not from the Torah, it's just every businessman in Manhattan knows that this is how you seal a deal.
A handshake.
Right? It's a kiyas kaf. So that's what's called the kinyan satumta. So that, the halacha is, makes it a kinyan. The fact that it's minhag ha-sochrim, that everyone knows that that's a kinyan, that makes it a kinyan. When we sell our chametz to John Brown, that's one of the kinyanim that we do. There's got to be, right? And John Brown, the deal is done. With the handshake. The deal is done. Right? So that's a Kinyan Situmta. If you don't know who John Brown is, you'll learn. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Aleph Sif Aleph writes, Machalo b'dvarim b'lvad. Let's say you just made a verbal agreement. Upasku adamim, you decided on a price, v'rashim alokeach roshim alamekach. You know, you're in the store, you don't want to take it home with you now, you didn't even pay for it yet, you have your money at home, oh, I'm going to come right back with my money, I'm going to buy it, but mark it, you know, reserved. You make a mark on it, reserved for Aryeh Leibowitz, right? You wouldn't write that, I would write that, right? Meaning, something like that. Kadesh Shielosim Yadur, Shushalo, Aval Pishal and Aslam Adam Klum, Kalachosaba, Achash Rasha, Makabal Mishapara, Viminagamedina, who Shayikna, Horsha, Horsham Kinyon Gomor, Nikna Mekach, Veinachamim Yachalaksbo, Nikna Mekach. If it's a Minagamedina that's a Kinyon, then it's a Kinyon. And no one's allowed to go back, and even in Basin Shalmata, if he sues me, he can get it. So now we have a level that's beyond Mishapara. Even if the money didn't transfer, this is stronger than Mishapara. Mishapara is that he can't sue me in Basin, but God's going to get me for it. Right? Over here, once it's Satumta, oh, so now it's real. Now it's a Kinyan. There is a discussion whether Satumta works even if the item is totally paid for. Okay, but that's a different discussion. So what is the status of internet payment? That's the million-dollar question, right? So if it's viewed as a promise to buy and sell, then it's a whole mechus ramana issue. Then there's room to be made, like we said, because of the price change. If it's viewed as a satumta, no, what's the halacha going to be? Can't back out. You're stuck. If it's viewed as a payment, mishapara, right? Which is bad. Very little room to be makel. The only slight room to be makel is the Chasam Sofer that no one accepts, where he says a price change even affects a mishapara. It's hard to accept. So lemaisa, what are you taina? Now my brother taina as follows. My brother wanted to say that when you run an online store, it's yadua that the terms of the agreement on the website usually allow the seller to not process the order. To get back to you 2 days later, sorry, we cannot process your order. Or out of stock, or something like that. Now over here, it's not out of stock. It's very much in stock, but he wants to make more money off of it. Right? But since that's the understanding in internet commerce, it is not even, my brother wanted a taina, not even an agreement to sell. Because the standard is that there is no agreement until the order is processed, and you have the right to decline to process the order. I don't know. I don't do that much internet commerce other than Amazon, where there's reason to, you know, for the sellers to have a good reputation, and they generally are pretty good about it. So I don't get too many. I don't know. Do people get that a lot? That they're not going to process your order? Is that true? I don't get that so much. So he wanted a taina that it's not even mechusrei amana, it's not even being untrustworthy, if that's true. Ah, but there's a Jew! So shouldn't you follow the halacha? Shouldn't you follow? But if a Jew enters a decidedly non-Jewish marketplace, right, so he's, although 90% of Amazon sales are done in Lakewood and Muncie, but okay, but if a Jew enters a non-Jewish marketplace, he's assuming that he's working with those rules and not with his own rules. I did not get a hold of Rabbi Willig today, but I did see Rabbi Bleich today, and he said it's a satumta. It's absolutely satumta. That's how they buy it. How else do they buy it? So that's an absolute. It's recognized as a Kenyan, and a male, if it's recognized as a Kenyan, so it's stealing. It's real stealing. He said it's at least a mishapara, but it's probably more than that. It's probably actual stealing. So lemaisa, I think the guy cannot. Cannot cancel the order. I'm not sure if my brother's right about this idea that you know, that it's sort of up in the air and that anyone could just, you know. So you know, what would you tell the guy? He's going to lose $1,000 on a Kobe Bryant poster. You'd probably tell the guy, what if Shachta told me, no, chaval, $20,000, it's not going to change your life, and you know, that will make you feel better. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody.